Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We began a couple days ago a message I've entitled Power to Become the Sons of God, and we were looking at some very familiar passages, truths that you've probably heard preached over and over, but I don't know about you. Many times, that's why even Jesus repeated, a good teacher repeats a great deal of what they share, simply because it takes us a while to grasp it. So one of the important things to remember, no matter how long you serve God, no matter how immature you may feel, having walked with the Lord for many decades, we have to come to the place that we realize we are in continual spiritual warfare. Many times, he's an effective enemy, the devil, not that we're giving him undue credit because he has been totally defeated, but he knows mankind. And so many times he can just lay off. And then when you're least expecting it, sometimes you're hit between the eyes and you wonder what happened. That sometimes is his strategy. So the devil doesn't really mind how religious people try to become, and he doesn't mind how much folks can work to attempt whatever they can do for the Lord, as long as it is without God's power helping you to do it. Again, going back to our original scripture, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When we are saved, as we believe on his name, as we receive him, we then have the power he has made accessible to us to become the sons of God, to become mature. We are babes in Christ when we're saved, but there is a power, an authority, and a knowledge of God and his ways that come as we seek the Lord. And the more a person tries to work for Christ in their own strength or in their own ability, the more it actually pleases the devil. Why? Because we get worn out, we get defeated, we get lukewarm, and Satan rejoices. Those types of carnal Christians who are trying to do a work for Christ, well, it seems like they're just spinning their wheels. The devil will do everything he can to keep the Christian from seeking to walk in victory, the victory that is promised us in that scripture in John 1:12. He'll do everything possible to discredit those also who will teach there is victory in Jesus. There is that potential, there's that possibility of being victorious. It is God working in us, right, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so sin, carnality, the works of the flesh, all that is overcome by the faith of the Son of God, of Christ, who is dwelling in us. An unknown writer wrote, "What is the victorious life? It is the life of holiness, or the perfect life, which is so often referred to by the Apostle Paul." So the very first thing we should do is find out just what is commanded us, as well as what is promised in the New Testament. And the greater portion of the New Testament is devoted to informing us, to educating us, to telling us as Christians how we should live after we have found Christ as our Savior. And this is in striking contrast to what a good many preach. They preach basically how to get salvation from the penalty of sin. And of course, as we look at fivefold ministry, that's the ministry of the evangelist. He preaches the good news. He preaches redemption, the ability for a human being, man, woman, or child, to be able to choose the salvation that is offered in Jesus Christ. And that's a powerful, needed ministry. After that, after someone is saved, then the teacher, the pastor comes in. They will provide that needed education and knowledge of Scripture that they need to grow in Christ, to desire the sincere milk of the Word, and then also the meat of the Word as they grow. In Matthew, the first chapter, verse 21, the Word says, referring to Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And this was what the angel of the Lord declared to Joseph. And in Jesus' early ministry, he said to his disciples, "Be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's Matthew 5:48. Now, as I've said frequently, Jesus would never command something that was impossible. He would be unfair. He would be unjust. So what is Jesus telling us? He's definitely, very clearly declaring that we are to possess some kind of perfection. In fact, a perfection in some way like that of our Father, God the Father. People have read this verse of Scripture and have exclaimed, "Oh, it's wonderful." And then it's overwhelming as you really try to contemplate it, consider it, because it seems utterly impossible, incomprehensible. But Jesus said it. Now, in 1 Peter 1:15, Peter declared, this is a Living Bible translation, and let's read verse 14 also, "Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways, doing evil because you knew no better. But be holy now in everything you do, just as the Lord is holy, who invited you to be his child. He himself has said, you must be holy, for I am holy." The Bible then really talks about holiness like that of Jesus Christ, and we are to possess this holiness. What does that really mean? Well, without going to the dictionary, it means basically consecrated, set apart for God. And Hebrews 12:14 tells us, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And our own concept of holiness may have been colored by our religious experience, that it's a matter of, you know, how you appear, what you wear, what you don't wear, rather than the condition of the heart. That's like Brother Glass used to preach, it's not clothesline religion. It is the heart of a man or woman seeking after the perfection, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's actually presumption to doubt the possibility of our carrying out any command of Jesus or what the Holy Spirit would lead us to do. The desires of our hearts should be understood what these verses mean and to do them. John writes that there's a possibility for us in Christ to walk in a Christian purity that is like Jesus. That seems to the natural mind overwhelming, but it is true. Our hearts can be perfect. Our actions will not be, we can't say we've ever arrived without sin in this life, but our hearts can be perfect before God. Now let's take a moment to look at some scripture verses. The first scripture I'd like to share with you is found in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." That's an amazing thing. We're looking at that scripture, and it's his love that enabled us to be called the sons of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." That's not a strange thing, right? "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And listen to this now, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Again, going back, what is the victory that overcomes the world? even our faith, knowing that it's not your striving, your efforts, your ingenuity. It is simply relying on, confessing your own weakness, your own inability, and relying on the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to the book of Romans, and I'd like to share with you in the sixth chapter of Romans, verses 11 and 14. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll have to read the intervening verses. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, your body, as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And here verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And the final scripture I'll share with you today is found in Ephesians 6:16, where Paul tells us, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, how many? All the fiery darts of the wicked, praise God. And so, beloved, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, my faith. Beloved, whatever our prior convictions might have been on this subject, whatever we have been taught in the past, however impossible it all seems, we cannot deny the following facts. What I've been sharing with you, it's in the Bible. It is in God's Word. There's a perfection commanded like that of God the Father. There's a holiness we're to walk in like that of God the Father. There's a purity offered like that of Jesus Christ. And there is a possibility shown of resisting every attack of Satan. So, beloved, there's no way we can live this victorious life without the Lord Jesus, but in Him, we are more than able. Praise God. Well, we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray that you'll be able to join me. If not, you can always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. Click on the broadcast, and they are archived there for your convenience when you can listen at any time. I love you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.